failures, repeated failures, are finger posts on the road to achievement. One fails forward toward success. Hello, everyone, and welcome to El Clasico Podcastico.
Finger posts? I gotta admit, that's a new word for me.
Different. I hadn't heard that term either. This is a throwback. If you want a hint here, it's a famous Christian author.
Christian author. Hey, you know that, who's that Frost guy? He's always writing about fences and snow.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Jack Frost? Who's the...
No.
Who's Robert Frost.
Robert Frost.
Every single poem was about, like, a little house in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yes.
And
yes,
his last name just happened to be Frost. I'm calling bullshit.
Wasn't he the poet?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, this author,
give me Bob Frost.
He wrote a series of books that would later be turned into movies.
Oh, Stephen King?
As a matter of fact, I don't think Stephen King's particularly religious.
But, he's not a religious man, the man who writes about demons.
No, he's this guy, a famous Christian theologist, actually, who wrote a series of books called The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. It's C.S. Lewis. Failures, repeated failures, are finger posts on the road to achievement. One fails forward toward success, and Barcelona fans can only hope that this is a true statement, because we are failing and failing again.
Really impressive. Barcelona, of course, had come in to their fourth round game of the Champions League somewhat buoyant, at least in general, leading the charge in La Liga, even against a very good Real Madrid side. You guys, top of the league. Only the one blemish, the one draw against Rayo. Great, unbelievable goal difference. The bugaboo has been in the Champions League, where losses to Bayern and Inter. That Inter loss, though, pretty controversial. Came into this game needing a win, basically, to stay in. What exactly did the draw do? Should we talk about that later? I'll tell you right now, broken down for me.
But I was reminded, as you were saying, we were hopeful coming into this game. I almost went with a quote called, "Hope is tomorrow's veneer over today's disappointment." And that is very apropos as well. So what the draw today does for Barcelona, as we took on Inter Milan, Internazionale, headed by Felipe Inzaghi, who's on the hot seat for the Italian side, are in seventh.
Stinking it up. Yeah, Serie A. Oh, by the way, we'll get to our El Clasico preview.
So oh, absolutely.
Don't worry about that.
But first, we had a very important game in which Barcelona had to win to have a decent chance at getting out of this group and into the playoffs this Champions League season, to not be forced to go back to the Europa League and slum it with the B teams like we did last season. All we had to do was beat Inter Milan in this one, and instead we drew 3-3. We'll talk about what happened, but what it means is that we need them to not beat Victoria Pilsen the next time they play them. They haven't won yet in the group, Victoria Pilsen. They haven't drawn yet in the group. They're 0-0-4 so far with a minus 13 goal difference. It hasn't been that close. They are not that good. And it's basically a foregone conclusion, as much as it hurts to say.
It's a chance.
There is still a chance. But again, hope is tomorrow's veneer over today's disappointment. And today was a huge disappointment for Barcelona. What a game we had in the Spotify Camp Nou.
Sorry, I have to interrupt. Mm-hmm. I went to 538 to look at your guys' odds. And before I even got to the page with the odds, it says, Barcelona, favorites to win the Europa League already.
Oh, yeah. We're bringing that trophy home.
They already dumped you guys down.
Well, the good news is last season we were also favorites to win the Europa League trophy, and we did not do that either.
You guys are 7% to get through, so there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance. If Sheriff Tiraspol can overcome a 1% chance to beat Real Madrid, then surely.
Sorry. Anyway.
Then surely we can come back. And somehow, I am now a Victoria Pilsen fan. This has become the Victoria Pilsen podcast where you're
like
following
their
that closely.
They got a fun melange.
They are fun. Purple, they are cool.
Red in there. I like it.
They are nice, but hey.
Czech? I love the Czechs. Czech beer, excellent.
They are good. And the Czechs, the Chechen people, I guess you should say now, because it's Czechia. They drink more beer than anyone else in the world.
Yes. And they invented Pilsner, I believe.
In fact, they did.
They got my vote.
Yes, but they did not invent football, so they had to overcome that.
Yep.
To
beat beef.
Mm-hmm.
so,
but basically,
still number two to the good old USA, baby.
We had to win this game in order to secure our own destiny to get out of the group, and it is no longer in our hands. It's up to God, and it's up to the Czech people. But in this one, Inter traveled. Spotify Camp Nou. It's a home game. Sold out. Only 1,500 Inter Milan fans allowed tickets to this one. They checked the tickets at the gate. All of the Inter fans were confined to one little top corner of the stadium, but it didn't matter. It just didn't matter, Mark. Now, I had my lineup for this game, and I would rather we had gone with my predicted lineup than what we actually saw, because what we saw from Xavi Hernandez was just one change from the game before in that incredibly uninspired victory that we had over Celta Vigo 1-0 that we maybe should have lost even.
I'd say.
And Xavi comes out with the only change that he had to make because Andreas Christensen was out injured for 3 weeks in that Celta Vigo game. So here's the lineup. Ter Spider-Man in goal, left to right, across the back, against a 4-3-3. A lot of media outlets were saying we were going four midfielders. It did not happen. Left to right across the back, left back Marcus Alonso, who I don't think earned a start over Alejandro Balde in this
one. Very curious his continued trust,
no.
Xavi, in this man.
Don't understand it. Again, didn't do anything good for us in this one. The two center backs were Eric Garcia on the left and one elder statesman, Gerard Piqué, on the right. And then at right back, it's Sergio Roberto, who's newly healthy again and playing for us. Never been a particular difference maker for us, but Xavi taps.
He's a guy. He's a real guy.
I mean, literally the only time he's been the guy was in La Remontada against PSG when he scored the game-winning goal. But literally outside of that play, he basically has no pedigree of performing particularly well in big games.
That's been Spanish.
That's true. That's true.
So that's
nice. He's got that going for him. Left to right across the midfield, we had Gavi on the left side of the midfield, Busquets in the middle, and Pedri on the right. I don't know what this was about, but no Frankie De Jong in this game. I thought that was a mistake to start the game. And then left to right across the top, we had Dembele at left wing, Lewandowski, of course, in the middle, and then Rafinha at his natural right wing position. And I thought Rafinha actually played pretty well in this game. He was hustling. He made a few nice defensive plays, and that got pulled a little early. And boy, was he frustrated about that.
You know what? I actually didn't like his performance. He's a little manic for me. I would prefer he's a real risk taker, and I'll give him that. But he's like a sprinkler. Like there's no, you can't shut him off. Sometimes you're like, Rafinha, maybe let's just try like the pass, an easy pass, get some possession. He's like, I will do a 30-yard through ball.
I would call his performance frantic. Like
frantic.
He was frantically trying to get us into this game, come hell or high water. And 17 minutes in, we almost give up a goal that actually has to go to VAR to get reviewed to make sure it doesn't go over the line here, as Eden Dzeko gets a shot off a cross that careens off the crossbar and back out. And I should say down, right on the goal line and then out. Then the next attacker can't get his foot to it for Inter on the rebound to put it home. He whiffs on that follow-up shot that would have been a guaranteed goal for them. And we get possession back. Thank God Dzeko does not finish this, but it literally bounces off the underside of the crossbar, off of the middle of the goal line, and back out. That was a godsend for us.
I thought it was over in real time, but it clearly wasn't. What a nice play. Dzeko gets on the end. Oh, looks like it's finished. Thought you guys were toast right away.
I thought so too, but we would come back. We had a couple shots of our own. Roberto, in the 30th minute, rips a shot from distance. Just to test Onana, Inter's keeper. Onana blocks it, but Lewandowski almost gets to the rebound to put in the follow-up. But Onana is there to pounce on the shot as he takes it and blocks it point blank. Almost a good follow-up goal here.
Oh, is this the one where Lewandowski almost gets to it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
So close.
What a good play. But was it DeMarco on the cover?
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Really good play by DeMarco and Onana to be like right there on that follow-up. Good positioning by both of those players. 40th minute, things change. Rafinha finds Roberto with a great ball to put him down the wing just outside the box, right side near the touchline. And Roberto hits Dembele on a quick cross, low into the box, center of the goal. Dembele gets on the end of it, and he scores, puts it in the back of the net. It's 1-0. Dembele sprints over to Xavi to give him a big hug and say, don't worry, we got you. And we go into halftime up 1-0. It's a great goal here. Good team builds. Great job from Rafinha. Rafinha collects this and then gets on the other side of, I believe, DeMarco, and then passes it up to Roberto, finds him well. I mean, this is a good play from Rafinha here to start it off, and a good finish by Dembele. And we're all hyped up. Honestly, the first half, we look good. They did have that chance, but other than that, it was mostly us controlling the game. We go into halftime 1-0.
You love to see that too. Like, that's such an underrated pass to me. That one right into the byline where you have a runner coming in, and it works all the time. I think it was you guys who did it the last game too that helped create a goal, because it's such a sneaky little movement that it's an underlap. I think it's the underlap. I love the underlap. Fede does it pretty well. You see your right back or whoever, your winger, kind of up against the goal, and you make that little run in behind. It's almost always so dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great play. Great job. Sneaky. Good playmaking right there. Good team build up.
Did I invent the term? Did I just invent the underlap?
Maybe. Maybe we got to put that in the lexicon. But we get into the second half, and things, again, immediately turn, as it looks like Inter made all of the correct halftime adjustments.
So many people just turned off the podcast when I said, did I invent underlap? nope.
50th minute, 5 minutes into the second half, Nicolò Barella sneaks it in as he gets the ball low in the box, left side of the goal. He slots it home high, near post, to make it 1-1. And my question is, what the F is PK doing here, Mark?
Yo, this goal was crazy. PK is just giving it to a goal. I'm like, well, that's offside. Surely I saw it quick, because it happened so fast. You almost didn't follow it. The camera almost didn't follow. And they show the replay. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, no. Great job, though, by Barella to cushion it off his thigh and then turn and fire. I mean, I call it a PK mistake, but almost as much credit got to go to the little Italian here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a good finish. It's terrible defense, but he made the most of it. And not an easy goal to control that ball and turn and score it.
Jesus.
Yeah. Really well done. Ter Stegen's beaten, and it's 1-1, and we got our work cut out for us now.
You know, I'd like to have on have a cover more on El Clasico, I guess. Hey, we could pony up for a little, but yeah, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, honestly, he'd be a difference maker. But the second half is just pure chaos for the rest of this game. It's back and forth. Everyone's getting chances.
This was such a fun half.
Crazy. 52nd minute, Pedri lays the ball back with a header for Lewandowski on a plate for him. Such a beautiful header here. He's running downfield and heads it back like 6 yards the other way. Just puts it on a platter for Lewandowski. Levy goes for the quick volley shot, and it goes wide right. Just keeps curling out. Wasn't that far off, but too far off to be a goal. 56th minute, Gavi absolutely saves our hides as Edin Dzeko has a gifted floater. It's coming to him far post. He's alone. Ter Stegen's on the opposite side of the goal, but Gavi slides in just in time to block Dzeko's shot. And then just a minute later, off of the corner kick, it's a great save from Ter Stegen off of the corner to block Dumfries' header, who had the handball in the first game that didn't get called. Dumfries' header goes low to the right of the goal, and Ter Stegen has to lay out to save it and push it wide of the post for another corner. No, that wasn't Dumfries on the header. That was Gerard Piquet, who shoulders the ball to the lower right side of the goal and almost scores a horrible own goal. Luckily, Ter Spider-Man is there to make the save.
Yo, Ter Stegen is on one, man. Maybe he's – I wonder if he's just, like, doing a bunch of tabs before, because he seems to have total awareness of all of space and time.
He knows how we're all connected.
He is one. It's just, like, one big beating heart.
Exactly. He sees it. And then 63rd minute, as predicted, Lautaro Martinez puts one in for Inter Milan. Good Lord. He had such a good game. He gets a long looping cross that Lautaro just touches once with his chest to get it past Eric Garcia. He comes back towards the center, and then he smashes it home off the inside of the left post, off the inside of the right post.
Yes. And double post action. Love a good double poster. Should be worth two goals, in my opinion.
They are fun to watch, but not in this situation for me. My complaint here is Eric Garcia is just watching Lautaro Martinez the whole time. He never sees the ball. He's just watching Lautaro, like, waiting for it. And he's like, I wonder when it's going to get here.
This was then Mendy's, he doesn't see it. Mendy's problem last game against Zubkov. You got to watch the ball and your man.
You got to split the difference. Look at the ground between the two. And unfortunately, Garcia is just watching Martinez. So Martinez collects, puts it on the other side of him, and finishes nicely. Gets a little lucky, but it's a good shot anyway.
That's what you need to be Spider-Man. You got to hit it off both posts. It's the only way.
Yeah, you do. That's to be perfect, and this one was. So right after that, we make a couple subs. Frankie de Jong finally comes on for Sergi Busquets, and then Ansu comes on for a livid Rafinha, who takes his jersey off on the way to the bench and throws it onto the ground in anger. And I'm glad to see his frustration.
Everybody should come out like that.
In the 72nd minute, Alejandro Balde, I felt, finally came on for Marcus Alonso. I thought that was a bit late. And then Franck Kessier came on for Sergio Roberto, and I thought that was late as well. Roberto is not giving us a lot of positive plays on this team. Franck Kessier gives us something different to work with. He finds a lot of spaces.
Xavi lost this game for you guys with the lineup.
Yeah, I think so too. Honestly, it's too bad. He should have gone with my lineup. 80th minute. It's a great chance here. This is so frustrating. Dembele dribbling the ball down into the box. He's got two defenders closing in on him. Ansu Fati is wide the F open. Right side
this
of the box.
This is crazy.
Right on the
tap
line
it.
Of
it's,
the right
goal.
It's a tap in, sure, dead on, 100% goal. It's a great ball from Frankie anyway to put Dembele in.
What a ball.
So Dembele, he's just got to knock it over. He doesn't have to hit it particularly accurately to get it onto a goal here, but he doesn't pass. Instead, he dribbles into nowhere, and we lose the ball. Frickin' shame that.
Might have been offside, but either way. This is just another mistake. Mm-hmm. Dembele should have been onside because the way the pass was, it was so good. He could have waited another second even before running onto it.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got this. He's got the pace.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
82nd minute. Lewandowski finishes a scrappy one here. Gets the ball off a deflection, center of the box that he just turns onto and finishes past a displaced
Onana. What are we looking at? What are we at right now, goal-wise?
It's 2-1 right now. Inter Milan are up after that Lautaro Martinez goal. Okay. Now we're in the 82nd minute. It's Thank coming you. Down to the wire. We need two goals in 10 minutes to win. And Lewandowski tries to head the ball. It looks like back towards the far post. It gets blocked by an Inter defender. Falls right back to Lewandowski, who turns and finishes on that deflection. Gets a little bit of a deflection on the shot itself to make it past Onana and make it 2-2. And we got a game again.
Hey, you just got to just shoot, baby. Just shoot. Might go in.
Yep. Just play dangerous balls at this point. It's emergency football here. And in the 89th minute, Inter Milan all but seal their spot.
The heartbreaker.
Through to the next round. Bury Barcelona 6 feet under the Champions League, also known as Europa League territory. Gosens' goal off of the pass from Lautaro Martinez. It's a fantastic pass from Martinez to find Gosens in space. He's just got to put it past Ter Stegen, and he does. He lifts it up high towards the far post from the left side of the goal. And he beats Ter Spider-Man, and it's 3-2 Inter Milan, and basically all hope was lost at this point.
Taro guy, man. Looking at the replay, like, to time that with the perfect pace and weight on it to get Gosens in, who wasn't even close to being beyond his man at that point. And the finish was immaculate as well. Just absolutely christened. The inside of the net.
Shame. Really, really upsetting to witness live. And then it comes to the 90th minute. We get 6 minutes of added time. And I'm thinking, it's over. Let's pack it up. Let's go. We don't look like scoring another one until the 91st minute. Eric Garcia puts a pass in from way upfield. It's on a dime. It's a beautiful crossing through ball into the center of the box where Lewandowski is waiting for it. The header is perfect. I don't know what his defender's doing on this, but he has an absolutely free shot on the ball, and he whips in a fantastic professional header into the top left corner of the net for the goal, and it's 3-3. There may just be a chance yet, Mark.
What a header. This should be the video that you put in on the VHS when you say how to take a header, kids.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's picture perfect. Rises and fires, and there's no chance.
Textbook header goal here from Lewandowski, a consummate professional, and he puts it in when we need it the most. He grabs the ball and he says, "Let's go." He's waving everyone to the half line, says, "We still got 5 minutes, boy." And then the rest of the 4 minutes, we're Marc-Andre Ter Stegen keeping Inter Milan from burying us.
Through Spider-Man, some howlers here.
94th minute, I just wrote Ter Spider-Man making the save to save our effing sorry A's here from going down a goal yet again. What just a point blank stop this was at the end. I believe it's from Martinez on this one.
There was a couple.
There were a couple of them, honestly. And we ended up lucky in the second half to come away with a draw from this one. And I mean, there is still a chance that we get through this Champions League group, but the chance isn't fantastic. Here's some stats for you: 25 shots for us, 11 on goal. To Inter Milan's 11-8, 62% possession. It didn't help us. Very, very upsetting that we could not pull it off in the game we needed to most. What do we? I don't know who to blame. I don't know what to do. But it's upsetting, We are basically staring Europa League for 2 years in a row dead in the eyes right now.
This was supposed to be the jewel of Xavi's renaissance, getting you guys into the latter stages of the Champions League, maybe even winning the Champions League. We had, you know, I think correctly, put Barcelona up there with the contenders for the Champions League title. You guys have been fifth, basically, in the global club world rankings, as ranked by 538. And I think we broadly agreed with that, at least through most of the season. I mean, if you look at all the actual stats and advanced stats, been the best team in La Liga this year, but for whatever reason, hasn't carried over to the Champions League. What do you think, Peyton? Why? Do you have any answers?
Or just more questions? I have a lot of questions for you, that's for sure. I mean, we look at our La Liga stats. We've had, in the nine games we've played so far, or eight games we've played, we've allowed one goal. And now in the four games we've played in Champions League, we're allowed seven. So I don't know what's going on there. What's getting lost in translation? Is it just that we're playing decent teams and that we can only dominate not great teams? I don't know what to make of it. We just don't have it yet. It's still a developing team, apparently. And I don't want to keep using that and say we're still figuring things out, but apparently we are. We should not be losing or almost losing to seventh ranked in Serie A Inter Milan right now with a manager who was on the hot seat himself.
And now he's probably not. We
saved his job. We just saved Felipe Inzaghi's position as manager at Inter Milan. So congratulations to Inzaghi, who picked up a red card actually at the end of that game for arguing with the ref. So he was sent off, didn't even get to celebrate with his players on the field, but I'm sure he was celebrating in the locker room with them. They must be overjoyed.
Inzaghi, he'll be in meme lore forever for his look to the camera after
he did the old Muppet meme.
Did everyone else just see that as he does it directly to the camera? One of my favorite moments of all time of a coach.
But that'll do it. That'll basically do it for our Champions League hopes this year.
Yeah.
Better luck next season. We have to beat Victoria Pilsen, and we have to beat Bayern Munich, and we have to hope that Inter Milan lose to Victoria Pilsen to make sure we get through. It's not impossible, but it's looking highly, highly unlikely for us. A big disappointing result here. But now we must look forward.
Could Barcelona, like Rocky style, like send emissaries to Victoria Pilsen? Like, could Victoria Pilsen suddenly have picked up Usman Dembele Usman with a very thick mustache. What a new signing.
It's Robin Kevendowski.
Kevin, he's just wearing a giant hat. you can't wear that on the field. Whatever do you mean?
Newly signed Sikh international player, just wearing the big turban for it.
Hey, that's his religion, you know? So yeah, chill out.
Discriminate. Don't hate. Hopefully we can loan them our players for just a day.
Thinly veiled.
Hey, if Bayern can allegedly conspire to let Inter Milan through, why can't we conspire to let Victoria Pilsen win one game in the Champions League group stages this season? I think it's fair.
I think so too. I can't wait to see the Czech sensation Bedri go off in their big time win. So hey, we'll look forward.
You just call it like Pedrovic, and there you go.
Yeah, Pedrovic. There you go. You got it. Wow. Well, we can't wait to see that. And in the meantime, there's just a little matter of titular El Clasico. Let's get excited, people. Peyton might be sad, but hey, Barcelona can pick up their spirits right away if they can beat their eternal rivals at the Santiago Bernabeu, currently under construction. for the last 12 years, it seems like.
It feels like that.
It's going to be done at some point, Bane. It's going to be great. We're being told.
For basically since we've been doing this podcast, they have been working on the Santiago Bernabeu.
We've been doing this podcast for years. That's how long they've been doing it. Also, the same amount of time, they've been working on the apartment building directly across from our apartment building. I don't understand. Does it take 4 years to build an apartment in Brooklyn? I don't. It shouldn't.
Well, they got a plan for the box seats in the apartment building, and they need the ability to turn their pool into a basketball court.
Yeah, you need them luxury apartments you got here. Well, Peyton, it's a big game for Barcelona and Real Madrid, mostly because. Remember the last time? I don't know. Do you remember the last game?
I certainly remember the preseason game.
That we played against each other?
Yeah.
The last real one?
Oh, real one. No, I just remember our 1-0 victory over you guys preseason. But before that, I believe, if I can find it.
Oh, I remember.
We won.
There you go.
We had quite a game in our last regular season competition, wherein Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang had a brace. Araujo and Ferran Torres all got in on the scoring action, and I can't remember who scored for Real Madrid. No one. That's right. 4-0 was the last result, but. Real Madrid didn't have a whole lot to play for except for the rivalry in that one.
Yeah, it didn't look like we were even playing for that. It was our worst performance in years.
Genuinely, it was your worst performance of the season, and I was happy to see it come against us.
Yeah. Barcelona were up for it, and it'll be the same setting. It'll be the San Diego Bernabeu. It'll be mostly the same players, except Barcelona have upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
Key areas, obviously, one Robert Lewandowski. You got some wing help. I don't know if Rafinha is going to start this one. We'll get to that. But Real Madrid also probably will see the debut of Tchouaméni in this one. CDM against the Blaugrana after a long run with Casemiro, of course, for years holding it down in the center of the park. So there's a lot of interesting storylines. Altogether, though, Barcelona got to get this win because you guys are behind now. 97 wins all time. In competitive fixtures, Real Madrid are ahead with an even century, 100. We had won 5 in a row until that awful, awful night
at the
Bernabeu last year, which we still won the league by 13 points, as you mentioned. So,
fascinating. Yeah, we were sort of flip-flopping whoever was leading the all-time series up until that 5-game run, which is pretty remarkable.
I like historically. Having a little cushion.
Well, we got to get one back, and it starts this weekend, Mark. What a game this is going to be. And it's also number one and number two in La Liga, and it'll be big in the tiebreakers going in towards the end of the season, and it'll be huge for who gets to talk first on our podcast.
Yeah, which hasn't been up for debate, we mentioned, until recently. Also, what could be interesting, and it's kind of a storyline that we don't really need to talk about now, but if Barcelona are only focusing on La Liga, this might be an even more important game for Real Madrid because Europa League games, not as important as Champions League games. And obviously, if Xavi just wins La Liga this year, it'll be seen as a huge victory. So we could see a change in priorities from Barcelona, and Real Madrid have historically prioritized the Champions League. So,
above all else,
could get interesting if we say lose this and then we're like, you guys got it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to come with the big ears.
Yeah, that's always the bullseye that Papa Flo's got his eyes set on is the Champions League big eared trophy.
Even
and La Liga,
he wants to destroy it.
Like, La Liga would be nice, but the Champions League is where Real Madrid prove that they're the best team. In the world.
Against the best of the best, right? It's an interesting one, right? Because we need a win to get to the top of the table. Because if we draw, you guys, your imperious goal difference. So I'm saying this is a smidge more important for us.
Okay.
Because Barcelona, obviously, you guys just got a very disappointing result.
We're in an incredibly bad run of form right now. If you look at like our last four games, it hasn't been great.
What's it been?
Well, we just tied Inter Milan 3-3, as you all witnessed. Then before that, we barely beat Celta Vigo 1-0.
Oh, that's right.
Then we lost to Inter Milan 1-0, just after barely beating Mallorca 1-0. So not great.
1-0s.
Yeah, I mean, we only have two goals in the three games before the game we played today. So not looking fantastic. And, I mean, we look a little lost right now, getting through defenses, so who knows.
What's so interesting, it'll be like two lost boys in the forest, because mm-hmm. Real Madrid haven't been at their bully at best recently either. I mean, obviously, we had won 9 straight to start the season, and then it was a 1-1 draw against Osasuna, a 2-1 win over Shakhtar that really could have gone either way, 1-0 mm-hmm. win over Getafe, and of course, the draw against Shakhtar that should have been a loss.
Yeah.
Except for Rudiger's incredible heroics at the last minute. So, and let's just be real here. That's an XG of 1.2 in both games, the last two games too. So it wasn't like we were cheated, not creating a lot of opportunities, either of our teams, really,
right.
The last two games. It's going to be a test of wills. It might be a scrappy one. I don't know. I might revise the prediction. Two teams coming in not in good form. I will say this. Our defense has been suspect. Getafe was our first clean sheet in La Liga. I don't think this will be a clean sheet for Real Madrid. No. I think you guys will score.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a clean sheet for us either. I have you guys scoring as well.
Here's what's interesting to me. We just nipped ahead of you guys in the club world rankings. We're fifth now. You guys had been holding down fifth for most of the year. We just nipped ahead, 87.5 SPI compared to Barcelona's 87.1. So,
Interesting. Like, does that mean that's who they think is just the best? That's the power rankings of what's happening right now, or who they think could be the best team? I mean, it's just the way you've been playing.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with that over the last three games Barca have had.
Yeah, it's just the way you've been playing. So XG factors heavily into it, I know, because you guys were way out in front of us, even though our results were better, because your XG has been so amazing. But the last, like, four games, we've had a couple that were pretty high in XG where we didn't actually score, even though our results haven't been as good. So right there, though, how fun is that? Separated by 0.4. I mean, that true El Clasico situation.
That's what it's all about.
We love to see it because in recent years, let's be honest, Barcelona haven't been up to the task.
No, we have been. I mean, you guys have been favorites for the last couple years, at least. I mean, it'd been 2.5 years since we'd been top of La Liga, even.
That's so crazy.
But it's been an absolute rebuilding period, and it seems like we're just coming to the end of that. We've clawed ourselves out of the grave that we were within. And started climbing that mountain back towards being contenders. We look like we're right there. We look like we're right there. And now we've taken a couple slides back down that mountain. And we got to restart from lower. But this will be a big test. This will be big. This is always a good check on how we're doing right now. This is always like, wait, where are we really? And we'll find out against Real Madrid.
I love how this will be our first competitive La Liga in a while. I mean, the last one was competitive in the sense that you guys kicked our asses, even though we had been the better team all year in La Liga. But this will be the first competitive one, and our teams are literally tied. This has not been the case for years. Like, they've mattered in terms they all matter. They're all big ways to test yourself, and they matter in the press, and they matter in terms of your general standing in the soccer world, but this actually literally matters for the table, which we haven't seen in hundreds and hundreds of days,
right?
Dozens and dozens of podcasts.
yes, very true. Hundreds,
maybe 100 podcasts. So, wow, what an occasion. I personally, I am already losing sleep. I did not sleep well last night. I'm already worried about this game. So, Peyton, do you have some players you got your eye on? Do you have some matchups? What do you got, any special sauce for Barcelona?
I mean, a lot of my focus is going on the players that we did not have available for us last season. So, number one on this one has got to be Robert Lewandowski for Barcelona. That's a key guy. He's going to be the focus of our attacking play. Can he find spaces to get open and get shots off on target? I don't know. We'll see. Are Real Madrid going to key in on him and keep him from getting the ball like so many opponents we've faced already this year?
It usually doesn't matter. Even if they do,
yeah.
I'm assuming everyone keys in on him, but his goal scoring record suggests that it usually doesn't matter if they do or not. It's like a 20.
No. So far this season, yeah, all comps, that's right. But he has 9 goals in 8 games in La Liga so far. And then the other, another guy I want to talk about, a key to this game, is the youngster who played his heart out today to no avail, but it's Gavi. I want to see Gavi be a difference maker in El Clasico. This kid, you know it. He's spicy. He's a little hot-headed. He gets fired up. He gets in people's faces. He's only 18, but he doesn't back down from anybody. He's incredibly competitive.
The Wolverine.
He's got some tempers flaring all over the pitch. That's what I think
his nickname should be.
The Wolverine, I'm with it. I agree with that. We'll call him the Wolverine. And I wanted to see him get in some face.
That could be a sound. We need a new sound now that Sergiño Dest doesn't play.
I want him to bite Cruz's ear off in this matchup. I want him to lay it all out on the field. And Gavi.
No, Gavi, no.
He's going to be winning balls back. He's going to be jumping on a Tchouaméni's back. And none on his ears. I can't wait to see it. So Gavi, he'll be a difference maker in this one as well as Lewandowski. And then finally, please, for the love of God, I want you to start Frankie de Jong in this one so we can have some kind of control in the midfield.
He's silky.
He's silky smooth. He can take it up all the way from the back. So we need him playing in this one. Those are my three players to watch. And then finally, whoever is starting it right back for us. That's who we need to key in on. Whether it be who will not succeed, Sergio Roberto. I have way more faith in Alejandro Balde playing out of position on the right side of the field to get this job done. And I wish so bad that Ronald Araujo was available and not injured until 2023 for this one, because you'd be huge to have over there.
I blame the Nations League, Peyton.
He kept Vinny in his pocket last season and in the summer, earlier in preseason. So Vinny couldn't get anything done against him, kind of like he didn't really do much against Shakhtar in your guys' last game. But I think
He came off the bench.
Yeah, but
it's been a little cool.
Lost the ball quite a bit in that one. But I think Balde, if he gets the start, will be a huge player to watch in this one.
Yeah, Araujo's tough, right? Because he's tall and fast. So those are the two things that usually don't go together for center backs.
Right.
Usually only getting one or the other. And he's good with the ball at his feet. So you lose all of those traits with whoever's coming in.
Exactly. Everything's a step down.
You have no tall, no fast, no skilled right backs besides Araujo. Sergio Roberto maybe has a bit of the skill, but I mean, come on. It's not even close to the player. Who is licking their chops for this game? It's, of course, our best player so far this year, Vinny Jr., as I predicted. Preseason, I thought he would rise to become our best player and usurp Benz, who's kind of become the old man a little bit. Maybe before we thought it would happen, hasn't scored in either of his four games, any of his four games. Back since injury, he was rested against Getafe. It's going to be interesting to see. Is this the mantle passing this game, maybe, officially? Vinny is going to have a fabulous game against whatever sorry folks are asked to fill in defense. He came in. He only played 33 minutes in our last game against Shakhtar. He's going to be fresh. He's got 7 goals already this season. He's got 3 assists. He came very close to his 8th and his 4th assist. 8th goal, 4th assist in the last game. Got that. He's very willing passer now. Those outside of the boot crosses, Modric has been teaching him in practice. He's really coming to his own. The confidence, it's all there. He's the complete package now. And I think you guys are going to, spoiler alert, maybe this is a hot take. I don't think so. I think you guys are going to have trouble with Vinny Jr. this one.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm keying in on a right back, whoever's starting there. You got your hands full this game, so we'll see how good you really are, whoever you are, starting for us, which is so scary that we have a huge question mark at the position that's in charge of marking Vinny during the game.
Yeah, it's not good. So I also think he'll be looking for revenge after he hasn't gotten a goal in a couple games. Obviously, the other matchup I'm watching, you already talked about it. Lewandowski versus David Alaba. We saw David Alaba have his worst game in a Real Madrid shirt against you guys. He was possibly responsible for all 4 goals that you guys scored. He at least had a part in all 4 goals. So if he does something similar, this will be a cruise for you guys, because I don't know if anyone's checked the stats, but you did not have Robert Lewandowski last year.
No, we did not.
So 7-0? Is this going to be just add his usual goals onto his brace?
Right.
His right.
Well, brace. Aubameyang was playing in his position. He got a brace himself in that game. So Lewandowski's got to get 4 or 5.
Yeah, to match him. That game was shocking for so many reasons. And thinking about it is making me nervous. Yeah. And I don't like to think about it. So it's also going to be interesting. Militao was dominant last year. Again, except for this one game where he just totally lost his mind. I will remind you, Benzema did not play that game. That was famously. Okay. He was out. So I think we'll do better, mostly because we'll just have our key man. Even if he's maybe not totally up to sharpness, as long as Benzema, right, we've compared him to a career mode player in FIFA, he's just the best guy you got, so you give him the ball constantly because he'll make the right decisions with it.
Yep.
A la Modric, just give him the ball, don't worry about what they're going to do, they're going to do the right thing.
They're professionals and they're geniuses.
Yes, actual artists.
Yeah,
out there on the field. So it's just going to be fascinating. Modric is the key for me as well, not just 50th La Liga assist. Could he get 51? He's 3rd in La Liga right now on expected assists per 90. So we'll need him at his best. Another underrated guy I have my eye on for this, Toni Kroos. Or Kroos. Using the German pronunciation.
Kroos.
Look at these statistics for the Shakhtar game. I know it's just Shakhtar, but still. 140 touches. Lucas Vazquez was in second. Guess how many touches he had? Of all players.
Cruz had 140. Vazquez was second. I'll say 108.
78.
Holy mother of God. That's he twice as many.
Doubled. He was the ball in this game. 11 of 13 long balls. 5 chances created. The assist to Rudiger. 5 tackles. That's game nice. High. What? He rolled back the clock. He had an incredible game. If he does that against Barcelona, we're going to win. I'm just going to say it. If he is vintage Toni Kroos, here's another crazy stat I'm going to have you guess. Toni Kroos is 1st in La Liga and passes to the final third. And by the way, he's rested a decent amount this year already. Who's the next best is Danny Parejo. How many passes to the final third does he have?
How many does Kroos have?
87.
Oh, man. I'm going to guess like 38.
52.
Okay. That's still significantly more.
40% more. Amazing. I thought it would be a Barcelona player, honestly. But yeah, I guess the pass progression. You guys, Pedri's not in there? I don't know. Weird.
No. Pedri, Gavi, Koundé was good at it. Koundé had a high passes forward, too. And Araujo.
Too far forward already? I don't know.
Right, but what about Busquets or Frankie? We got to get those balls forward, guys.
Yeah, nowhere near. Very strange. But it's going to be fascinating. Obviously, I didn't even get to my number one key of the game. Thibaut.
Mm.
Thibaut Courtois is back.
Is he going to play?
Our big gummy Belgian. He's back. Yes. This is the biggest key to the game because I was teetering on a draw or loss, and then I made sure that he was playing. He will play.
Oh, man, I was loving Lunin. Oh, all right.
Yeah, Lunin's like, you know, C+ goalie. Hey, he barely played for us, so I think his performances have been fine. Thibaut is maybe the best goalie of all time.
All right.
Hey, he had the best goalie performance I've ever seen. Against Liverpool.
That's true. That's true. He won that game.
Won that game. Maybe. I said maybe. He's probably been the best goalie for the last couple of years in the whole world.
Okay.
I would say.
All right. That's fine.
Add a few more words to that and you're in the conversation.
I mean, Jan Oblak, I think a couple
Oblak
of those.
Oblak was terrible last year, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He had an off season. So maybe he's on the down slope now.
I don't know. I mean, they always feel like Allison in there, Ederson. They're almost like not goalie. The passing, it's almost like they're valued more for their passing.
Yeah.
Like chance creation, the Premier League. That's right. A whole different animal. Yeah. It's a whole different game, really, the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
My other key to the game is my last one. Mandy versus Dembele, I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy, lockdown defender, for all his flaws as a passer, an offensive player, he straight up does not let guys get by him. He was dribbled by 11 times the last 2 years, in each year, all season. For comparison, Jordi Alba, considered another elite left back, maybe the second best left back in La Liga, dribbled by 24 times last year, 38 the year before that.
Right. Well, Araujo, I mean, he's not a left back, but he didn't get dribbled past until like 5 games left in La Liga last season, which is pretty remarkable. But yeah, Mendy, he's solid. And Dembele, he hasn't looked much like taking defenders on one-on-one lately to try and get past them. He's more about the take a step down to the wing and then cross it into nobody. So we'll see how that matchup goes. Dembele, I mean, he looked fired up for our last game against Inter today, but I like Mendy in that matchup as much as it hurts to say.
Interesting. So, yeah, honestly, I'm going through this position by position. I think I give Real Madrid a slight edge at basically every position here. Maybe we'll go through really quick. Who do you got at left wing? We're both playing 4-3-3s, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about going out on a limb and saying maybe Xavi does try and go with the 3-4-3 for this one, but I don't think we're going to see it. I think we're both doing the same thing. 4-4-3. Yeah, 4-3-3.
Do we want to do a quick position by position?
Yeah, so left wing for Barcelona, it's tough. Ferran Torres, again, has not done anything with his time on the pitch. Of course, Memphis Depay is still out with his injury. So our only real choices are Ousmane Dembele and Ansu Fati. I think he's going with Ousmane Dembele at the left wing to start this game.
Left?
Yeah, left wing. And that will be explained in a moment.
Okay. All right, so left wing, you got Dembele. Obviously, we'll play Vinny there. So I'll give the edge to Real Madrid there.
Okay.
And we'll count them up at the end. Benz, we'll start at forward for us. Who do you have at forward? Who you got a striker?
You know, I was really thinking hard about this one. It is, of course, going to be Bobby Lewandowski.
I heard Bobby Lewandowski.
Bobby Lewandowski runs a tractor business out of Wisconsin. Bobby Lewandowski.
Oh, he'll get you a deal. Oh, yeah, he will.
Come on down to Big Bob's. He'll get you a goal or two. Lewandowski, of course, will be starting at the 9 for us.
Polish assassin. I'm gonna give the edge to you guys. You agree with that?
I agree, baby. I agree.
Edge, Peyton. I wanna add him up here at the end. Edge, Mark. Okay.
Right wing.
Right wing.
Barcelona are going with Rafinha again.
I don't love that.
Nor do I. I wish it was Ansu on the left wing, Dembele on the right, but Xavi has made his choice pretty clear. It's Dembele on the left, Rafinha on the right.
I like Rodrigo recently. He's been scoring goals. He's been dribbling. He's been passing. Nice little layoffs, too. I would give Rodrigo the edge here against you guys. Do you agree with that, or should it be a
push? It's hard for me to disagree with that when Rafinha only has one goal so far in La Liga.
Rodrigo's
so
got four in all comps.
So I'll agree with you and say Rodrigo gets the edge there. He's played with you guys for a while. He knows the system and he's gotten better and developed in that system. Whereas Rafinha is still kind of new and finding his place, trying to prove himself as the in and out, in out starter for us. So who knows?
All right.
I think we're to
Real Madrid there. So two out of three go to Real Madrid in the forward line. I'd say that sounds roughly accurate. Well, with Dembele playing out of position, which Peyton will elaborate on in a minute. Let's get to the midfield. We'll see Toni Kroos, I think, on the left side.
Well, Dembele starts at left wing because Rafinha cannot play left wing. So Rafinha plays right wing, which is natural position, and then Dembele's starting at left wing because he can play there and he can be a little fluid with it and just sort of move around the pitch. He's not concreted to that left wing, so that's why I put him
there. I just hate that because Dembele's so deadly from the right wing.
I know, and that's why it should have been Ansu today against Inter Milan on the left wing.
Just play your best guys in the best positions and then figure the rest out. But that would be like Real Madrid being like, you know, Vinny, he can play midfielder. He can do it.
Right. Or like Mbappe, he can play striker, and then Mbappe leaves your club.
that's a whole mess. Oh boy. So I'll give Toni Kroos the nod in left mid. Who you got at left mid for Barcelona?
Of course it's going to be Pedri Gonzalez.
Ooh. All right, so this might be a big time argument. Who gets the advantage there? I'll give it to you.
I'll take it.
No, you know what? Push.
You calling it a push? Hey, was Cruz named the golden boy last year?
Experience versus youth.
Skill.
I think Cruz is on song. He's on song.
Hey, it's fine. I'll give you the push because we're going to see in the game how much better Pedri is than Cruz right now.
All right. And then CDM. Real Madrid are going to start Tchouaméni, our breakout star, I think, of the early season. It's been maybe a little off the pace for the last few games, but you could say that about everyone. So I'm going to give Tchouaméni the start at CDM. Who you got?
It's got to be the big old number five, the tarantula, Sergi Busquets.
So the opposite CDM. Here. Real Madrid now, the young gun versus the old hand.
Got to go with Busi on this one for me. I don't know about you. Hey, Tchouaméni, he's okay. Let's call it a push again, man.
All right. Chu's maybe been our best player all year. You could argue for that. He's been amazing.
Yeah, Busquets might be the best CDM of the last 10 years.
Didn't look too good in the last game. Didn't look great. I'll agree to a push.
We'll push it.
All right. And then on the right side of midfield, who else? Real Madrid, the indomitable, the terrifying. Which Luka Modric, still at it at 37, on the right side. Who will start for Barcelona?
I am going to call for the upset start here. It is not going to be Gavi getting the start. It's going to be Frankie De Jong making the start at right mid for us.
I don't think Gavi's earned it.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been good. He's I mean, he plays with a lot of enthusiasm and energy for the full 90 minutes. But Frankie de Jong, I think he's just a better player. He's proven it so far on the pitch. You got to give him the nod, especially against Real Madrid. Give Frankie de Jong the start, please, Xavi.
I think Barcelona are going to try to control this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big part of that will be de Jong would make sense for me in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. He's definitely way safer on the ball than Gavi is. He's just a all around the better player. But either way, neither of them are literal witches like the guy who will be lined up opposed. Yeah.
I don't know what science has mm-hmm. done, but they've managed to create a superhuman who is 5'6" mm-hmm. and is playing the best football of maybe any midfielder at the tender age of 37. So I'll go ahead and just pencil Modric in as the edge there on the right. And let's get to defense. Left back, we mentioned, Mendy's going to start for Real Madrid pretty much 100%. And who do we say for Barcelona?
I'm gonna go with Jordi Alba at left back for us starting this game.
Alba, all right.
Experience.
Call that a push because Mendy's great in defense but offers almost nothing in attack, and Alba's almost the
opposite. Yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. He'll be throwing balls into nobody from the court from the left wing, and then doing his darndest to try and keep pace with anyone attacking him.
Yes. So all right, so we got to push it left back, and then center back. We're gonna mm-hmm. start the Austrian David Alaba.
And our hands are pretty much tied at Barcelona right now with all of our best defenders out. Andreas Christensen, Araujo, and Jules Koundé. So it's going to be Eric Garcia on the left side of our defense.
He's been very good.
He's been really good. He's been really good. Is he better than Alaba? I don't know. But he's been our best option there so far since all of these injuries. He hasn't put really many feet wrong, didn't have a great defensive play against Lautaro Martinez that allowed him that goal that buried us essentially in the Champions League earlier today. So my confidence is a little shaken, but he had a great game against Celta Vigo on the weekend.
He's been really good the whole year though.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you a push on that one.
Okay.
Sound fair?
Sure.
I think Garcia's been good. Alaba's been a little shaky for a few games. And against you guys, I'm not sure I trust him. So,
cool.
So push there. Right side of center of defense. We're going to see PK. I know we're going to see Milik.
Yep. We absolutely will see Gerard Pique on the right side of the center back line.
Pencil in Militao as the edge.
I will give that to you with no argument.
It's going to be a tough one.
I mean, that's just clear. If you've watched any of our last couple of games, he is washed.
It is a little sad to see, but then you remember that he cheated on Shakira, and you don't feel sad.
And also that Messi will only come back to us if he is no longer on the team. So let him go.
Is he out of contract?
He will be at the end of the season. Oh, and if we don't start him, remember, in over 30% of games, we do not have to keep him on the team. We are not obligated to do anything for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. I must have forgotten that.
But we have to play him right now until these other defenders are healthy again. So he'll start this one.
Yeah, it's a really interesting subplot to this game is that your guys' injuries are going to make this. It's going to be an uphill battle for Barcelona, mm-hmm. I would say, away from home. Right back, Dani Carvajal, obviously, he's been sitting for a couple of games. So he's going to come in guns blazing. He's been really resurgent this year, a key to our offense and defense. So love to see the Spanish international ahead of form for the World Cup. What do you think about right back for Barcelona?
I think it's going to be the youngster, Alejandro Balde, playing out of position at right back, getting the start for us. He's very good. We'll see just how good he is. I mean, he has earned a starting spot, I feel, over Jordi Alba at left back for us. But since we are so weakened, emaciated at the right back position since Lane Sergino Des walk to AC Milan, that we need someone to play there. Baldi, I think, is our best option. And that is also why I started Frankie de Jong at right mid instead of Gavi, because he can come back and help Baldi out mm-hmm. on that wing.
Important. And as we mentioned, that's probably going to be the most interesting matchup on the field against Finney Jr. So we'll see if the young man can keep.
I think he's going to surprise people. I think he's going to surprise people.
He's got the pace.
He's got the pace, and that's what you need. You got to be smart playing against Vinny, but you need pace.
Penalty?
First.
Do I see a penalty? I might see a penalty.
If there's a penalty, it's coming from Gerard Piqué yes. making a boneheaded slide in once he gets past ball.
A leaden challenge on Vinny, mm-hmm. For sure. Well, we're getting to the last position, and Real Madrid have the big edge. But we'll go through position and position, and we'll talk about which is most important, because this is basically maybe the most arguably important position on the pitch. We've seen goalies can influence games. And I got to say, I'd give Barcelona the edge here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought you were saying you guys were getting a big edge. I think Barcelona have the edge here. Ter Stegen is the odds-on favorite.
I'm a reasonable man.
We're the odds-on favorite, Ter Stegen, to win the Keeper of the Year trophy from La Liga. And he's, again, one goal so far allowed, 19 out of 20 shots saved. It's the highest in Europe right now. He's playing lights out, and he saved us in the game against Inter Milan. He saved us in the game against Celta Vigo. He's the reason that we are still competing at the level we are. So I think you got to give it to Ter Stegen, especially since Courtois. I mean, if he's been playing throughout so far leading up to this game, maybe you could give it to him. But just coming off his first game back, maybe a little rust in those hands.
For sure. It's a really interesting one to mm-hmm. just be thrown back in against the best team we've played this year. Remember, we haven't been playing your Inters or your Bayerns in the Champions mm-hmm. League. Our best opponent so far has been Atletico Madrid, who we dispatched, which was a pretty easy win, I gotta say. Only 1.2 XG, though, so we didn't create a ton of chances, but Diego Simeone didn't look like attacking. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, Barcelona, they're going to attack yet.
Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely should.
So I would expect Xavi to set up his team a little bit more offensively than Simeone at home, even though. What is Atleti doing? I don't know. That's for the Atleti podcast to sort out. I'm not sure what's going on there. But I will say, I'll summarize our starting lineups, Baden. And we gave Barcelona the edge at just two positions. But what's so interesting about those positions, one is striker, one is goalie, and what are the mm-hmm. two most important positions on the field?
They're right there for you, the nine and the keep.
So it'll be interesting. We gave, Real Madrid the edge. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places push at the rest. So pretty even if you kind of even out the importance of the positions. What do you got for a prediction here, Fate? Let's just let the people know.
Here we go. It's coming down to it, folks. It's a big game. We need this one. It's going to be hairy. It's going to be hotly contested. It's going to come down to the wire. But I can't go against my boys. The Blaugrana are coming out with all 3 points, and there will be 3 goals in this game. It's a 2-1 squeaky bum victory for Barcelona in this one. Lewandowski will get a goal, and Frankie de Jong will return Xavi's favor for starting him with one of his own from the midfield, probably following up a Lewandowski or a Dembele chance. So Lewandowski and Frankie de Jong, the 2 goals, and I'll give the 1 goal to Vinicius. He will inevitably get through into the goal and slot one home far post.
I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
Definitely seeing that. Wow. Bold prediction from Peyton, although I gotta say, from watching the last few Real Madrid's games, saying that we'll only score one is not going that out of limb. We've been offensively challenged, so it'll be fascinating to see against Barcelona's depleted defense. Can Real Madrid get the job done at home? were favored 538, 46% to win. I'll go with that. I would say I do say we went position by position. I will say I think we'll win, mostly because I see Vinny, as we mentioned, absolutely dominating on the break. He only needs one moment to change a game, as we've seen this year. 7 goals in all comps, leading the team. I think he'll get a brace. I could see him drawing a penalty as well against PK, we already mentioned. So I'll bet Ansu gets one late, Lewandowski gets one early, but Vinny scores in between and scores a couple in between, and Benz adds a penalty at the end.
Oh my God, and it will be a bad penalty call as well, just given to you guys by the
refs. I think it'll be a lumping challenge by Jerome Piqué. Okay.
So well, that will happen.
Yeah. I think it'll be an obvious one. And I think we're going to win late. I think it'll be 2-2 for a while, and Real Madrid will pip it at the end with a Benz penalty that he'll finish this time after missing one against Osasuna. 3-2, Real Madrid. Let's see it.
Wow, I can't wait. Hey, if you're listening here, we appreciate you and we love you. Send your predictions.
Should we do the starting lineups again? Because we kind of labored
over
them.
Sure.
If we just want to just spit them out.
Yeah, lightning round. Barcelona starting 11, Ter Stegen in goal. Left to right across the back is going to be Jordi Alba, Eric Garcia, Gerard Piqué, and Alejandro Valde. Left to right across the midfield is going to be Pedri, Busi, Frankie de Jong. Left to right across the top, we're going to have Ousmane Dembele on the left wing, Lewandowski up top, Rafinha at right wing.
Real Madrid are going to come out with Vinny, Benz, and Rodrigo up top. Kroos, Tchouaméni, and little Luka Modric in the midfield. Mendy, Alaba, Militao, Carvajal rounding out the defense. And big Thibaut Courtois will welcome at the back. And we're going to see 3-2-1 for Real Madrid, but Peyton thinks it's going to be a 2-1 victory for Barcelona. So keep your eyes peeled for 11 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Early game. What?
Early game.
This is an early Clásico.
Rise and shine, boys. It's a big one this weekend. It's El Clasico. And please send your predictions if you're listening to El Clasico Podcastico at gmail.com. Or you could tweet them at us.
Tweet at us. We'll tweet at us
at ePodcastico. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast. And then follow our YouTube channel, because we will have our live reactions coming out shortly after the game. Yeah,
it's at 16:15 for all of our Spanish fans.
10:15 a.m. as a matter of fact. Eastern
there
time.
It is. 10. Oh shit! I was off.
It's all right. People could tune in for the second half if they followed.
Thank you.
Your advice. Well, and Real Madrid normally tune in for the second half of their games anyway. So
this is bad though, because we don't do well in the early morning games. So maybe a twist of fate here.
Well, you will be at home. Barcelona traveling to enemy territories. They're going to be playing behind those bright white enemy lines. Can't wait to see it. We'll have it all here for you. Be sure to listen to the reaction episode.
I'm shadow boxing. No one can see it.
Biggest game of the season happening Sunday morning, folks. Do not miss it. We love you all for listening. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Why not? Give us 5 stars. Because I'm sure you really enjoyed the episode, because I know that we enjoyed making it for you.
Absolutely.
A la Madrid.
And as always, Visca el Barça. It's El Clásico!
Podcastigo!